Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you and physically in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And great to have you with us. Now, is Solomon Wilcox, is he today?
You betcha, sir. 4:35. Very excited.
Perfect.
Yeah, very excited for that.
All right, let's get to... I'm going to talk to Solomon Wilcox about a bunch of things. We'll bring this topic up at some point, and that is the Tom Brady situation. I've talked about the Brady situation many times. You know, the reality is, I think Dan Patrick's right. This is not about deflated footballs, right? It's about power. This is all about power and who has it. And it's a fight. It is a fight. And I was listening to, on the way back yesterday from Connecticut. Now, we hope you enjoyed yesterday's show, by the way. I mean, there was a lot in it. And then Solomon Wilcox today. Did we pin down John Orrand yet?
Still going back and forth email with Mr. Orrand, so looking to hear back from him.
Because Mike Pence is easier to get a hold of.
I know.
I'm just he's the name of the hour, so I figured I'd throw it in there. just for a couple laughs. Dr. John Boecker. I think it's spelled Boecker from NYU. And he's an expert on air and gas principles, all right? Now, you can argue that Sean and I are also experts, but that's a different realm. But I listened to him on the NFL channel yesterday. He was on, I think, with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin. And he said, number one, he says, people don't realize that when it comes to heat and cold, he said, a football, because of its construction, is a sieve.
I was like, okay.
He talked about the, you know, between the laces and the sewing and everything like that. Okay. All right. So that was one. But then he really caught my interest on this one. As you and I both know, and the entire audience knows, all 11 footballs were checked at halftime for the Patriots. Right? And here was his point. He said, if the Patriots did what we expected they did, because Brady wanted it this way, and inflated it to the minimum, which is legal, of 12 and a half. He says those footballs, all after being in the cold and rain for 2 hours, all would have been under.
Okay.
He says, just nature. He says, I can give you any football. If I put it in 12 and a half and then I measure it 2 hours later after they've been sitting out there for in 35-degree weather, He says they're all going to be down. And you and I both know common sense-wise that's true. So then he then made this additional point. He said the time it took for them to measure the 11 Patriot footballs and then inflate them back to probably 13, I'm going to guess, the middle number. He says then they only had time to measure 4 Indianapolis footballs, 2 of which were under. He says, but not as far under as the Patriots. He said, now people have said, see, there's the key. He said, no, that's not the key. He said, you have to remember, he said, in the time it took to measure 11 Patriot footballs and then reinflate to the proper level, which, by the way, they weren't that far down, but they were under, but not as far under as the original report claim. Wasn't even close. All right. And then the time it took to, okay, now we have to inflate them and make sure we've got them. And they probably, as I said, my guess is they probably took it to 13 to the middle number. He said, then they got to the Colts footballs, he said, which were sitting there for 10 minutes. He said, in 72-degree warmth. He said, it makes a difference into what their numbers would be. Now, what's the one thing that Prady has done in all this that really makes him look bad? And that is, of course, the destroying of the phone. And I think in the end, that's the part that irks them the most. And I think in the end, that is a major reason why he gets 4 games. But they're using this. Brady will probably bring it to the Supreme Court. I wouldn't doubt he does something later on with the league because people are going to label him as a cheater. And I'll tell you the one area through all this I've admired, who are the two people he never once has thrown under the bus? He never threw Jimmy McNally, and he never threw Jastrzemski under the bus, the two equipment guys. Never. Not one time. I don't know. He didn't pull this. I don't know. You know, the equipment guys are the ones that touch the footballs. I have no idea. And he could have done that. Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he throw two, quote, on the scale of New England Patriots football, and you have 3 people and 2 would be considered to be expendable that we can replace, who would the 2 be? The 2 equipment guys. Tom Brady would be in the other category. And he never once has thrown them under the bus. Why? Never has. In the end, this is all about power. Does the commissioner have the right to suspend? What's the role of the Players Association? If you read the documents, you see repeatedly within the documents the National Football League Players Association attorneys asking questions, probing, so forth. Who don't we see asking questions and probing? Tom Brady's attorney, Jeffrey Kessler. I think he asked like 1 question. In other words, you know, you guys are out of it. This is our ball. This is our, I mean, and the Players Association has not done well by Brady in this, because of the power play between the commissioner and the Players Association. Whole thing's ridiculous. It really is. James Harrison has to respond to Al Jazeera reports about PED use. Al Jazeera? I mean, there are better sources in a kindergarten. What? Really? Big story of the day. Phil Mickelson. He lipped out a putt on 18 that if it had dropped would have been 62. Shot 63 today at the British Open. Tied the Open record. He has a 3-shot lead over Henrik Stenson and Patrick Reed. Now, admittedly, this was a day where the weather was more like Scottsdale than Scotland. But we will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us. Rory McIlroy, 2014 Open champion, is not going to play in the Olympics in Rio. Besides saying that he wanted to massively disappoint the suit, he also had these comments as to why where the Olympics actually fits for him in life.
I mean, I don't feel like I've let the game down at all. I mean, it's not... You know, I didn't get into golf to try and grow the game. I tried to get into golf to win championships and win major championships. And all of a sudden, you get to this point and there's a responsibility on you to grow the game. And I get that, but at the same time, you know, that's not the reason that I got into golf. But I'm very happy with the decision that I've made, and I have no regrets about it. And I'll probably watch the Olympics, but I'm not sure golf will be one of the events I'll watch.
Which events will you watch in that case?
Probably the events that track and field, swimming, diving, the stuff that matters.
There you go. I mean, those are the true Olympic events. I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, every 4 years you get to compete for your country. You're really, I mean, you can do all the Grand Prix of Phoenix as you want, but nobody there, the sickle soul, really pays attention to it. Yeah, but they pay attention to it now when it comes to the Olympic trials and the Olympics. And golf's on every single week. Golf has four majors, and you do play for your country, all right? Or, you know, or for your side. Rory McIlroy will be a part of the Ryder Cup. For goodness sakes, playing for the European team. Jordan Spieth will be playing for the United States in the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup is the international competition where you do represent your country. President's Cup is where you represent your country. The Olympics are great. I'm glad they brought golf into it. It's great. It'll help grow the game. Brazil actually has a growing golf course population to its credit. I was just reading about it in Golf Digest magazine the other day. I have no interest in going down there and playing. But it does. And, yeah, I mean, so he goes out and he tells you how he feels about it. And, of course, then he gets criticized for it. How could he possibly have that opinion? Well, that's how he feels about it. It's okay. It's all right. There are other people that'll go. Now, if I'm sitting there and I'm a top player, pipe dream time, thank you. But if I'm sitting there and I'm a top player, and you ask me, what would you rather play in, the PGA Championship or the Olympics? I'm going to play in the PGA Championship. It's a major. When your career is over with, like Serena Williams is a good example. Right? She has tied the record with 22 Grand Slam victories after a victory at Wimbledon, correct? Right? Among those 22 Grand Slam wins, which puts her at the pantheon of the sport, how many of those 22 are Olympic gold medals? I think she's won it three times, but they don't count. You won the Olympic gold medal, but it doesn't count in your Grand Slam total. If you win the Australian, the French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open all in the same year and don't win the Olympic gold medal, guess what they call you? A Grand Slam winner. If you win the Masters, the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, and the PGA, but don't win the Olympic gold medal, guess what they call you? Okay? History. A Grand Slam winner. If you win the Masters, the Open Championship, and the PGA, and win the Olympic gold medal, you know what they say? Oh, boy, he missed the U.S. Open. He could have had the Grand Slam. I mean, it's just a different sport. It's different. It's got a different livelihood. It's just got a different life to it. That's all right. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, the Olympics is, it'll be terrific in the pool, terrific at the track, terrific, you know, in diving, terrific in, you know, so many ways. Archery, I don't care whether it's archery or judo or wrestling or whatever it happens to be. But for a professional golfer, it's like a professional tennis player. It's a great thing to say you have an Olympic gold medal, but what's more important, the Olympic gold medal or Wimbledon? I think a genius to figure that out.
Well, Serena, to her credit, though, I mean, with all those Grand Slams that you were talking about, 22 of them, but she still says about the Olympics, it's probably one thing I have that I love the most. It is really one of the best experiences that I've ever had. Nope, she's not talking about Flushing. She's not talking about Wimbledon.
Well, exactly. It's great to stand on the podium. You represent your country and the whole thing. It's a little bit different in tennis, though, than it is in golf. Okay? Now, in the men's side, you have Davis Cup. And what is it? Is it the Whiteman Cup? But that's different, right? In golf, the Ryder Cup means so much to be a part of the American team. That's huge. So you're already representing your country at that. So very interesting. And very interesting comments, I thought, along the way. Solomon Wilcott's at 4:35 today. Bottom of the hour, news update. Number 1-800-795-9565. Look, you want to jump in and ask a couple of questions, please do. I don't care what the topic happens to be. Lift for Life is coming up on Saturday. What a great event that is. I'm sure they'll find some knucklehead to MC it.
I was going
to
say, stop by, say hi to the MC.
I'm sure they'll find some knucklehead.
I could have sworn they did.
He's already done the other 12. I guess I'm the only one there that's done them all, I guess. Once again, no job advancement.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, the heck with that. The only one I care about is whether the kind of review movie Mike gives to Jason Bourne. That's the only movie I'm going to see this month. Damon's back as Jason Bourne. Come on, man. I've zeroed in. Great to have you with us. Great day here today. Looking forward to Solomon Wilcott's in our final half hour today. Phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565. I want to know what movie Mike thinks about Jason Bourne. That's coming up at the end of the month. There we go. Damon's back. Love it. All right. That's the way it should be. Time now for this day in sports history. It was this day in sports history, 1970, Riverfront Stadium. The National League beat the American League 5-4 as Pete Rose runs over Ray Fosse at home plate for the winning run in the 12th inning. Carl Yastrzemski was the MVP of the game. He had 4 hits in it. But it was the Rose moment that was the signature moment and showed the entire world that even if it's an exhibition game, how determined he was to win. There you go. That's this day in sports history. 800-795-9565. Phil Mickelson is 63 today. A three-shot lead at the Open Championship at Royal Troon over Patrick Reed and Henrik Stenson. Actually was awake at 1:30 when the first shot was hit today.
I was almost tempted to start DVRing Golf Channel just to catch the opening comments of Mike Tirico, since that's his first new gig with NBC.
It is, and I was actually awake and watched a little bit of it this morning. Until about 2.
And Bubba was off to a pretty good start. We were talking during the break, but then he hit the postage stamp on hole number 8, started to get a little frustrated.
Yeah, did. Phillies are in an interesting spot. It's going to be an interesting month. What do you do with Hellickson? I would think that there is a guy that potentially you can move to bolster even more so what you have, because Hellickson is not going to be in their long-term plan. Others will be. And there will be, this is not a trade season where a Cole Hamels is available. This is going to be a trade season where Jonathan Neese is available, or Francisco Liriano is, or Hellickson is. That's the kind of trade season it is this time. Last year, Hamels was moved. Troy Tulowitzki was moved. Last year, some big names moved. Not so sure we're going to see that this time. You would think between Thompson, I think Williams will be up with them eventually. I also think September is going to be a very important time for the Phillies. In September call-ups, you're going to get a chance to maybe see Crawford play and some others. But I don't think you're going to see them up with the club until September. You're in a mode where you can take your time with some of these guys. Hellickson may move. Here's another guy may move. Cameron Rupp may move. Those are some of the possibilities. I give the Phillies a lot of credit. Battled back. Started out well when all those one-run games. Then hit the slump that I think most people expected. It may have been a little deeper than some people had expected. But then they did something which I think surprised a lot of people. They dug themselves out of it. And I thought that was really impressive. They dug themselves out of it. Are they a contender? No. Can they be patient to wait for the right deal? For example, if they do decide to move Hellickson, can they be patient to make the right deal? Yes. They've been able to build up a lot of prospects. You know, Tommy Joseph playing decently. You still have Crawford in the system. You got to get Roman Quinn healthy. You got a couple of other guys. Franco's playing a lot better now. Hitting the ball with more authority. Lifting the batting average up. Herrera's been good all year. Cesar Hernandez. Batting average has certainly improved in the past month. So they're fine. At the end of the month, we'll see by July 31st what they want to do with a guy like Hellickson. I think it's a good spot to be in. The Yankees have to make the decision, and I guess there is an argument in the organization right now as to whether they're buyers or sellers. Now, that's a difficult spot to be in. You have to decide, am I a buyer or a seller? The Phillies have it to predetermine. They already know. If they wish to be, they are sellers. That's if they wish to be. Pirates are in an interesting dilemma. Because they do have to improve the club, but the guys that the fans wanted them to bring up, they wanted Tyone up. Now, he'll come back from the DL with a little shoulder tightness, but he'll be back. They wanted Glasnow up. He's up. They wanted Josh Bell up. He's up. Thought McCutchen showed some signs of life the last week to 10 days before the All-Star break. Marte's been great all year. Polanco's been great all year. They'll get Gerrit Cole back. They'll get Francisco Cervelli back. Now, the one issue that the Pirates have as they make this race is, A, they have closed the gap to 7.5 games with the Cubs. The Cubs are nowhere near playing at the level they were in the first 2 months of the season. Arrieta's had some shaky outings. Lester's had some shaky outings. And they're just not playing at the same level. So the Pirates are now 7.5 back. The problem the Pirates do have is that they have other teams between themselves and the second wild card. When you can just zero in mano a mano on something or someone or some team, it makes the mission of getting there easier. When you have multiples that you have to hurdle, it takes more patience to do that. In the second half, you do have some patience. Will they move Nice? Or will they move Liriano? Or both? Or none? Interesting questions. Moving forward. But they will get Gerrit Cole back. They will get Cervelli back. And the area of the team that has improved dramatically for the Pirates is their middle relief. The Pirates have a passable starting pitching staff by my standards. Passable. And the reason is this. They don't have very many guys that go 7-8 innings. That's a big issue to me. If you have two or three guys that can give you 7 or 8 innings consistently, oh my goodness. The Pirates have too many 5-inning, 5 2/3, 5 1/3 inning guys, which puts more pressure on the middle guys in the bullpen.
Yeah, last couple of years they would bring in three guys. They would have bring in their first reliever in the 7th, Tony Watson in the 8th, and then, of course, Melanson.
Sometimes they have to bring him in the 6th. That's my problem with the Pirates. I don't know. Starting pitching is no better than okay. Oh, look at the ERA. I don't care what the ERA says. I want to know how many innings are you eating up. To me, the big numbers are innings pitched to hits given up, strikeouts to walks, and to me, a 5 1/3 starting pitcher who throws 100 pitches isn't helping me. All right? That doesn't help me. Hey, now the weakest part of my baseball team gets to be exposed for an inning and 2/3. Well, Ed, thank you. Great start. Okay? That's why Arrieta and Lester are so invaluable. Kershaw, invaluable. They eat innings and keep the bullpen, Suddenly you're in a great pattern. Go 7, Watson, Melanson, we're done. Now that is good pitching. Not 5 1/3, 5 2/3. All right, let's go to the soft underbelly of the team. First 2 months, the soft underbelly of the team did not perform well. The last month, though, to their credit, especially they moved Nicasio to the bullpen. All right, the last month, that soft underbelly has performed extremely well. And that's a big reason why you've seen the Pirates win of late. But I'm not big on... And he gave us 5 1/3. Really? Well, the really good ones give you 7. Hey, the mediocre ones give you 5 1/3. All right. 800-795-9565. Baseball All-Star Game. Here's one. If we were brainstorming in a room as to what one change I would make with the All-Star Game, because the ratings were down again, I think down 18%. You know what that change would be? I propose moving it to Sunday night. Now, I realize owners do not want to give up weekend games. That I understand that. So, I mean, that would certainly be an issue. But to pump up the game... Maybe bring a few more viewers to the table. Pick a night that is a bigger night for viewership. And that, of course, is Sunday night. And make it into an all-star weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I would draw a few more viewers to it.
Yeah, it's like the NBA All-Star Game. They have like their little celebrity shindig on Friday night, yeah. Saturday night. You got the three-pointer and slam dunk, and then they cap it off on Sunday night.
Right, exactly.
Weekend deal, yeah. Yeah, America's Got Talent. More people watched America's Got Talent Tuesday night than the All-Star Game.
Right. Yeah. Well, put it on Sunday night. I mean, I'm just, you know, if we're brainstorming in a room, you know, that would be something I said, hey, guys, let's discuss this. And I think it would at least be worthy of discussion. Now, I know, but now the owners would argue, and I understand completely, well, you're taking away a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three dates from us. And that I understand. And, but that's why it would have to be, you'd have to discuss it. But I think for the All-Star Game, I think it would be better for the All-Star Game. Now, is it better for everybody overall? It's something that's why you'd have to discuss it. I actually ran into somebody who watched 90 minutes of the ESPYs last night. I only had one word for him. Why? Did you watch any of that?
I watched the whole thing, believe it or not.
You watched all of it?
I did. I watched all of it.
Why?
Nothing else on.
Go to dinner.
Finish dinner before 8.
Oh.
Took out the trash, got everything done, and yeah.
First of all, the timing of it, I understand. Why they're doing it, I understand the whole deal. I have no desire to watch any of that. Best dunk of the year. Who cares? Move on.
Now, do I go online and vote for any of the awards? No.
Mm-mm. Now, Craig Sager, for example, that's the only thing the entire night I thought would be worth it.
I started to cry. I was crying when he was on stage. It was a phenomenal talk that he did.
Yeah, I saw excerpts of it this morning because obviously I was driving back. So you watched all of it?
All of it, yeah.
God, I thought, I mean, not even John Skipper watched all of it. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new Ford F-150. For the past 101 years, Sunbury Motors has helped over 40,000 new truck buyers find their next Ford truck. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks covering 4 city blocks. SMC has F-Series trucks with discounts up to $11,000 and starting at $22,749. The first 25 F-Series buyers will receive a complimentary accessory package of all-weather floor mats, molded splash guards, window vent shades, and a pivot toolbox, all valued at $599. An incredible 4 city blocks of Ford trucks to choose from. Over 125 trucks in stock. $599 worth of accessories. All at Sunbury Motors, the dealer who has helped over 40,000 customers find the new Ford truck of their dreams. Hurry in to get your new Ford truck at Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150.
The latest craze, of which I know nothing about, is Pokemon Go. And I guess you can do this with your phone. And the plus is young people are out all over the place instead of staying inside, and they're having, and I mean young people, I mean 35 and younger, having a blast with this. Now, naturally, you're going to get to the extremes. A Marine playing Pokemon slammed his car into a tree trying to catch Lapras, a blue sea creature. Another man fell down a cliff while chasing some Pokemon creature. Okay. It is, without question, the most interesting fad or phase in the country.
It is the top downloaded game in the world right now in the Apple App Store and quickly becoming the biggest of all time. And people that played it 20 years ago, well, I guess they're finding their youth again now playing Pokemon Go. It's just amazing how fast and how popular the game has become. And there's people here in the Central Susquehanna Valley that are playing it. A friend of mine told me that they were online at Bucknell. There were kids at Bucknell on campus trying to find little creatures and little prizes.
They're going to do it tomorrow night here at Medler Field, Lebronto Park. They're all set up for it. A Pokemon Go night.
Oh, as soon as we're done here at 5 o'clock, you got to race right over there. So between now and tomorrow night, you have to download that to your phone.
Now they rolled this out last week. Here's the problem the police have had with this. They've had a flurry of calls from residents about possible burglars and other strangers prowling the neighborhood. Because people are wandering into cemeteries, they're wandering up driveways, because they're all looking at their phones and they don't really know where they're wandering to. It's all innocent. But it actually has become a problem for some, because people are wandering all over the place doing this.
People that now live in homes that used to be churches.
Yes.
You got Pokemon Go players showing up at their places and blocking their driveways and taking away their privacy. Yeah, it's getting out of control.
It's interesting.
Oh, it absolutely is. I forget what state it was in. I read a story a couple of days ago. There was a girl playing the Pokemon Go, and she was in a rural area toward a lake. And while she was playing Pokemon Go, she encountered a dead body.
Yeah. Several cemeteries, including Arlington National outside Washington, have expressed worries about players on their grounds. At Mobile Memorial Gardens in Alabama, President Timothy Claiborne said he has seen visitors walking or driving around with phones in their hands playing the game. Said he asked people in about three dozen vehicles to leave over the past couple of days, earning him the title Chief of the Pokemon Patrol from the staff. In the last week, it's been incredible. People doing this all over the place using their phones. Solomon Wilcott's final half hour today. Looking forward to that. And I know you're shocked that Steve Jones talked about Pokemon Go.
Now, the shocker is if you would download it. We know that's not going to happen.
You can all stay on your feet. It's not happening.